This is Reka. So, this is the third real episode of Asian American Adventures in Japan. Let's see. Well, I'm thinking about making this probably a thing I release maybe around Sunday or Monday. And, it seems to be most consistent. Last week I did the kind of a special one because we were greeted by an earthquake. That was a surprise. But other than that, I think the easiest thing would probably be to record and release around Sunday, Monday, Japan time-ish. Reason being that I usually have Sunday off most days. So that makes it a little bit easier for me to record then and to do different things for the podcast. I can record in classrooms probably if I have time. Hopefully, if I have time, it depends. Speaking of that, right now, I'm actually on a business trip. I am covering my company, like many different kinds of Eikaiwa. They have classrooms all over the country, and when we're short-staffed, sometimes you need to go cover a classroom when you don't have when you have days off or something, and or you're at a classroom that doesn't have that many teaching days regularly, so then all your free days you can be free to go help out in other areas where needed. So I'm doing one of those things. I'm actually on a business trip / mini vacation because I'm actually doing back-to-back business trips, so it's like two, but it's like the same area. The only problem is normally the company doesn't allow for business trips to go over a day when we have a day off. So I did Thursday through Saturday last week, and then technically I have Sunday off, but because of the break in the middle, I had tickets to go back to my home city. I'm actually in Matsuyama right now, and my home city is Takamatsu, but I would have to come back Monday morning, and I don't want to wake up early to catch the train to come back Monday morning. It sucks. So I decided to cash in the return ticket and the ticket to come back to Matsuyama. And you can do that because it's just a JR ticket. So you just go to the train station, tell them you want to turn them in, and then they'll give you cash back, less a few hundred yen. But it's fine. I still got back around $100, which went toward getting a place to stay for two nights somewhere else until Monday morning. And then Monday night I have a hotel provided by the company, and then Tuesday morning I head back to my home area. So yay. It's just in the middle. It's kind of do I really want to go back for a day? And it's a far trip. It's a 2.5-hour train ride, and but from just the express train. It's not including the local trains in between that you have to get to and from the train station to your hotel and or your apartment. And it's just the amount of time and waiting in between is just really tiring, and I kind of really just wanted to sleep after I got off work on Saturday. And I've actually been thinking about pulling this for the last couple of weeks before I actually went through with turning in the tickets and everything. But as far as business trips go, my company's actually pretty good with the hotels it chooses to book us into. A couple times I was actually into nice ones that had onsen in them. I was sweet, there's an onsen here. Yeah, yay, you can take advantage of that. And one time, I think a couple of times that I got, it's my skin, it's if you actually go, it's a mineral. If you go to anyone, even a center, just a public bathroom kind of thing. I had to do that one time because I stayed in an Airbnb in Kyoto with some of my training mates, and for some reason, mysterious reason for that nobody understands, even the owner, the hot water got turned off. And for a couple of days we had to go to a Sento is like a public bath, but it was like an onsen because they used mineral water in it. But yeah, it was like a New Year's Day when we went to, so it was really convenient, but also like kind of inconvenient in that we had to go somewhere else, but also convenient in that we had an actually really interesting opportunity to try out an onsen, and like all of us are kind of nervous the first time we went because it's like, oh, you have to be naked and everything. But after, it was like, that was the best thing ever. Like, all of us really enjoyed it. And it's like, we felt like so clean because like the water's really hot and like you clean yourself off and everything, but it's just like the soaking and like the sauna and everything. It's just like, you feel so clean. And like at the time, so we went like New Year's for 2016, 2017, so it was like New Year's Day 2017, and then when we came out, we're like, all of us are like, I feel like I just washed off all of 2016. But like, yeah, it was, you just feel so clean when you go, and it's like the best experience. And then we liked it so much, we actually went back again a couple days later. It was like, this is the best. So yeah, there's that, and there's a couple of hotels that will, well, not a couple. I mean, like, there's a bunch around the country that like will have onsen built into them, that just have them for guests to go to. Sometimes the company books me at one of those hotels, and it's great. That really nice amenity. It doesn't happen all the time. It's kind of like they obviously, because it's a company, they try to go for whatever's cheapest. And but like, there's a certain kind of a standard to them in that there's like some kind of amenities. It's not and like in that the place usually has a restaurant attached to it or something, so that the employees can like go there to get something to eat like at some point during their stay. And there's like toiletries provided, and the rooms are decently nice, and but like somewhat bare bones, but not quite bare bones. Like, I mean, I've seen like I passed by at the station like worse business hotels that were like more bare bonesy than the one that I got booked at. So it's like, it could be worse. So it's like, there's a minimum kind of a standard, but like, you shouldn't expect something too fancy because you're there for work. It's kind of really just a place to sleep. That said, like, I mean, the place I went to, I'm booked at for this business trip, is the Sunroot in Matsuyama by JR Station, and that one's okay. There's like, the lobby's nice, and like, there's a restaurant there, and there's different kinds of amenities. It's like the room is kind of more on the sparse side, but I mean, they provide slippers for you and toiletries, and there's a hot water like kettle there, and there's free Wi-Fi, so it's like not too bad. And there's like a lot of like there's a lot of electrical ports and everything for all your devices to be plugged into. Whereas like I like with the ticket money I bought, like I couldn't stay at the center all the way through because apparently like they were booked up on Saturday, so it was no go. But so I found another place that was like pretty cheap, and like basically my refund paid for like most of it. Still, I kind of like only paid like maybe like $20 in fees because I found it online. But anyway, so the place I'm staying at, it's like the room quality is definitely a lot nicer. It's a lot quieter. It's like so silent and everything. It has like one of those key systems where you have to put the key into a thing in order to turn on all the lights in the room, which is like pretty good for like power control, I guess. But like, yeah, it's just different. But yeah, the room's pretty nice. Like, bed's pretty comfy. Temperature's well regulated. Decor is really nice. There's a little couple scuffs on the wall from like a previous person who like maybe like wrote their suitcase against it. But yeah, pretty nice place. Like, I'd say like this is probably slightly more comfortable than the one that my company is having me stay at. But like, I mean, it's also a little bit farther from the station, so that's why the price is kind of like. The price is kind of basically about the same. This one has slightly less like outlets, but yeah. Let's see. It's actually really close to Dogo Onsen. I haven't been there before, but it's a really big tourist attraction. And I'm thinking maybe I'm gonna go head there on Tuesday before I head home. For like a just to take like a bath there, just to say I've done it, and also like kind of relax, and also just I don't know when the next time I'll be back in Matsuyama again, because I really don't know if I'm gonna be sent on another trip or not, because you never know, because it's only on an as-needed basis when they send you. So yeah, I'm gonna try that out later in a couple days. Yeah. And let's see. So, while also on this business trip, I decided to go by Animate, because the Matsuyama Animate is slightly different than the one in my city. So, I went over there and I spent way too much money. Mostly in Clear Falls, of course. Like I said, I have a problem with collecting them, but yeah, mostly in Clear Falls for different shows that I like. I went there for specifically Bungo Stray Dogs ones, because I knew they were gonna be there, and then I walked around and I found more other ones that I wanted, like Tokyo Ghoul and My Hero Academia one. And yeah, it's like probably too much, but they had a bunch of other Bungo Stray Dogs stuff too, and it's like, oh, it's a Port Mafia t-shirt, oh, it's Akutagawa with socks. Oh, and then oh my gosh, they have plushies of the Yu Hakusho characters, new plushies. Like, I need to get those. It's my favorite series. I have to get those. So yeah, that was a huge chunk of it too. That one. But yeah, I went to Animate, and I'm only really bringing that up again, that trip, because they had the latest collection of clear files that they have in, like some of the other. There's some other products too, but it's like a. It's collab goods from the Prince Hotel collaboration that Bungo Stray Dogs did with one of the hotels. I think it's like the like Prince Hotel in like Ikebukuro. But yeah, they had like this whole thing where you can stay in special rooms. It's like decorated and like especially for the anime. And there's like a food set thing you can get, where you get like some of the snacks, and then you get a bunch of like goods, like badges and like stuff like that of the characters. And yeah, it was like a whole trip thing. Like, I was looking at it, and I was like, I think I kind of want to go, but I don't have the money for it right now, so I'm not going to. But so it's kind of nice that they're releasing the clear files at Animate, and I bought most of them, but they didn't have the Akutagawa one. No, yeah, but that's just kind of like another example of the kind of events that they do in Japan. They have promos and events and collaborations with like everything. You can see promos with like shoes, or like this maker of like clothing, or like this random maker of like cups, or like textiles. And there's just like different like manufacturers that will, for some reason, they'll just do a collaboration with an anime company, and they just like make a whole bunch of merch. And it's like not even just like the anime companies, like, or anime goods companies, like specific like MUVIC, which are like owns anime, and just like other, just like Ichiban Kuji, and like just other like anime goods specific companies. They're like regular companies that manufacture other stuff. We'll just collaborate with them, and then suddenly come out with a whole bunch of merch. Like, also, like, I really like Shonen Jump, and Shonen Jump for some reason really likes to collaborate with the Coca-Cola company. So like every summer and like winter, they release a whole bunch of like mini merch, or that you can get if you buy so many bottles of Coke product. Sometimes it's like Georgia coffee related too. It's like I think the latest one this time is like towels. There's a series of summer's towels, all for Jump 50th anniversary. And like if you buy certain bottles of Coke and/or coffee, you can get a towel for free. And we think for New Year's, I got calendars, and I think like a couple months ago, I got a Yu Hakusho whiteboard for free that way. I just bought like a package of Coke and I was like, oh yeah, free whiteboard. And then sometimes Christmas time they have like bags and stuff like that for like One Piece, and yeah, there's just a lot of different kinds of collaborations. I think like Pokemon has one with like Itoen every now and then, where like if you buy so many points of things from the Itoen vending machine, you can like enter a raffle to win like really cute like Pokemon themed like stationery or something that's like limited edition, or like bags or other stuff. Like sometimes it's like big items, maybe like camping gear or something like a cooler, but it's like useful but themed. And it's just all kinds of things. And like the hotel was kind of, the Prince Hotel collab was just kind of the most extravagant. And I was like, wow, that's hardcore. There's like, I mean, there's cafes, but it's like they had a cafe portion to the hotel thing, but then it's like they took that and then ran with it with the room. It's like, you know, that's kind of insane. And also, like, you could probably make a whole tourist, like a tour group plan thing for people. They haven't done that yet. They only market it to like the Japanese market, but I can imagine that like that would be like a fun like a tour plan to give to like foreigners too, I think. I don't know. Let's see. And other than that, for this week, I wanted to talk a bit about music for the next section. So maybe like a artist of the week kind of thing. So this week I wanted to talk about Half, which is a song by Joe Bocci. Joe Bocci is like basically translates to Queen Bee in English. And they're a kind of visual-esque band, in that they do a lot of costumes, things and stuff like that, but they're also, and they kind of play up on the androgyny thing, but the vocalist is like female, and also like they have a younger sister and like that's also in their band. And the thing with the interesting thing about them is that like they're half Japanese and they're half black. I don't necessarily like know if they're like African American black or what exactly their story is, because it's not like that talked about in that specific format. But it's because like it kind of like only is a thing with them, because like it colors like their music, and especially the song Half, because it kind of like talks more specifically about the experience of being someone who's like half Japanese in Japan. Because you, I mean, if you're like half Korean, half Chinese, like no one's gonna really notice. But if you're half Japanese and half like maybe white or half black, it's really noticeable. And like there's kind of like a certain kind of a stigma to it. Like, it's not necessarily bad, but it's like there's like different kinds of expectations put upon you, because like, oh, you're half foreigner, or like you're half like not, you're like partly not one of us, even though maybe you have the sensibilities of like being Japanese and like you grew up in Japan and you know nothing but about not know nothing except Japan itself. Like, it kind of doesn't really matter. You're kind of like sort of like partly an outcast kind of thing, and that's kind of what the song is about. It's like, I mean, it talks about some of the expectations in there, but it's also kind of like, there's like a lot of like political things you can say about that too, I think, it remarks. But at the like, and it's like maybe it could be slightly controversial, in that like some people think that like if you are a representation of a thing, that like you need to be like super political about it and always talk about it and like try to fight for the rights and everything. But like the song is like kind of talks about like, you know, I just want to like live. And like I don't necessarily know that that's a bad thing, because like, you know, it's great for people who want to actually push themselves and go out there and be like, you know, an emblem for like all other people who are like them, to like feel accepted. But like that's a lot of pressure to put on a person, to ask them to do that. And it's like sometimes it's kind of like, I just want to be able to have a normal life and do my thing. And I think that's what the song's about. And like, I think there's some kind of a comfort in that too, and that they're saying that because like, at the end of the day, like every person just wants to be accepted and just to like live their life like normal. And like, the only reason like put the political stuff is political is because like the fact that they can't live a normal life, So that's kind of an interesting song that I really like. Like, I mean, just the melody, I mean, just and everything. It's like it's a really good song, and it's like some of you may have heard of it because it's actually the ending theme for Tokyo Ghoul. This last season, like our re Tokyo Ghoul, yeah. So it's the ending theme, but it's like it has like some kind of, like parallels to Tokyo Ghoul. Well, right now, because like there's a within the new group, and even with like the owl and also like Ken slash Sasaki, like he's technically like half because of the surgery and everything. So it's kind of like the position of him being like half ghoul too. That's like, I don't know, he just wants to be able to live, and even though he's like special and like he, because it's an anime series, he gets targeted and everything. It's just like he gets targeted by other ghouls, and also like by the I don't remember the name of the organization right now, the organization that hunts them. But like at the same time, he used to be like a normal human being. He just wants to be able to be like a person and have a nice life and everything. But like he can't really have that because things are complicated and life is complicated. And it's kind of like similar like that for foreigners and kind of yeah, like it's really similar like that for foreigners, I think. Because like a lot of foreigners come to Japan, kind of like a lot of foreigners immigrate to the US even, and it's like people just want to have a life, they just want to build a life there. They don't necessarily want to do anything that's like bad, they just want to like be, find opportunities and try to like live their best life. And for Japan, like, it's like they really need outside help and people coming in. That's kind of like a thing that the government is pushing, and because there isn't enough people to do all the jobs that they need. But at the same time, it's like even though they're doing that, there isn't quite a lot of acceptance for them yet necessarily. I'm speaking also as an Asian person who's in Japan, like I'm kind of like shy-ish, but when I talk to like my coworkers and like other people I know who are foreigners, like, oh hey, yeah. So that's like that's how I get most of my social stuff, and I talk to my friends back home. But it's just hard to like socialize, I think. Because there's a lot of like cultural barriers and things like that, and like even like if you know the culture, it's just like your sensibilities and the way you behave is like marked by the how you were in your home country, so it's just different. But it's not even like for like just for people who are actually foreigners. It's also kind of like different people who are Japanese descent but come to Japan. For whatever reason, like my friend in university, I won't give his last name, but like he's Jin, and he went out on a study abroad program when we were in university, and while he was there, or while he was in Japan, he was like studying in Tokyo, and like he like got really depressed and like kind of like felt like really down, and like in that like He's Japanese, but like he kind of felt like he would be accepted, but he isn't accepted because like at the same time he's still really Americanized and people just and like for most Asians, like what Japanese, Chinese, Korean or whatever, it's like if you're like an Asian from America, people assume that you're already half and that you're not like that you're not like fully Korean or you're not fully Chinese, you're not fully Japanese. It's like they assume that like you're half white already, and it's like and then even when you tell them that like you know you're not half, it's like it still also doesn't really matter. Like it's like, oh okay, so you have more blood in you, but then at the same time it's like you're still kind of half because you still act really American, you know? So there's like that kind of a border, like that kind of an issue there too. But also like in the past, like around like World War II time when Japan lost the war, there's also like a lot of Japanese that were like stranded in different countries like Taiwan and like Southeast Asia and everywhere that Japanese troops went, and like because they couldn't get have a way to get back to Japan because they lost, so they weren't able to come back home. And so there's a lot of like repatriation of them and they come back to Japan, and then because like either them themselves or their family who grew up in like whatever the location was, maybe like the family that they had grew up like their entire lives in Taiwan, they come to Japan for the first time, like they don't really know anything here or how to do anything in Japan either because it's a different place from what they're familiar with. So then they have a lot of problems too. And then there's also from the ones from the Western Hemisphere, like the north, I mean, like it's like from America, but like also from like South America, really, because like I think we used some of the Japanese internees that were Americans, we did use as POWs and send them back to Japan. I think primarily like the no-no boys, like the ones that replied no to the loyalty questionnaire that the U.S. government gave, and like people have a lot of thoughts about them. And things like there's also like they didn't necessarily answer no because they weren't loyal. It was just because like they're being treated like crap, and it's kind of like, and like what I think one of the questions like, are you willing to like serve for and fight for the U.S. and like in the army? And they said no. It was like. And they said no, but they said no because, like, dude, you're holding my family, my parents prisoner. Why am I gonna fight for you? It's that kind of thing. It's like, and like, and it's kind of like those. It's like they asked them that, but then they also they kind of like also didn't really understand the situation. And then as a result of that, like some of the Japanese that replied no, like were. Like uses POWs and sent to Japan, and then after a while they realize like, oh wait, we shouldn't be sending citizens, like deporting citizens, 'cause they're like they're still our people. So then the kind of like sounds like a lot of paranoia like went to South America, like hey, do you have any Japanese there? They're too close for comfort for us. Can't like if you give them to us, like we'll take them. And so there's a lot of like South American countries that like like allowed the US to deport and like basically kidnap a lot of their Japanese population, and the US government like took their papers and then when they arrived on US shores, they're like, where are your papers? Like, dude, you took them from me. And because they didn't have any papers, they're basically illegal aliens. And then they interned them in different camps, and then eventually use them, a bunch of them, for as POWs to send back to Japan too, even though none of them had been to Japan, or a lot of them like didn't speak Japanese and probably only knew like Spanish or something. And yeah, so we did that too. And like for those people, they need a lot of support too, and like they obviously would feel really alien in Japan as well. And that's kind of like another like kind of a social issue that happens here in Japan that like you know needs a lot of support and understanding that unfortunately isn't really talked about or like focused on, or like it's kind of like one of the hidden parts of society, I would say. But anyway, it's late and this is probably gonna be a short episode because I need to get to bed. But I just wanted to try to put something out, and sorry, I still have my cold. It's like when you work a lot, it's really hard to get enough rest to get rid of a cold, and that congestion I feel is like really impeding upon my ability to speak properly. And so I'm sorry. But the last bit I wanted to talk a bit about kind of my influences for this podcast. Well, obviously, so I have like a lot of influences with like anime and things like that, and because of like I have a Japanese major background, and but I also grew up in San Jose, like near Japantown. Like my family's actually third generation Chinese, and that's actually rather rare because a lot of Chinese in America are maybe like first or second generation, and that they settled in America more recently, whereas my grandparents came to America in around 1900, and then 19th and 20th century. And then they had my parents, and then my parents met, and then they had me. So it's like I'm like really, really Americanized compared to a lot of Chinese now that live in America, like a majority. And around because there weren't a lot of other Chinese that were like them, my parents like had a lot of Japanese friends. So I have a lot of Japanese influence growing up, just because my family had a lot of Japanese friends because they were like the only other Asian people around. So yeah, I have that background, and I used to play a lot of video games. And growing up, my dad like got me into them because we had an Atari and an Intellivision, and we used to play them like for a long time before we even got a Super NES and got into like the modern consoles, like the newer ones. And so yeah, there's that, and I watch a lot of Japanese dramas too. And I also have like a lot of geek culture stuff because my dad is also, like a super nerd. He used to take me and go watch Star Wars movies and Batman movies, and we played like Street Fighter of the family. And yeah, there's a lot of like raising your kids to be geek kind of thing. And so that's a huge influence on me. And also I watch and listen to a lot of things that are by Felicia Day, like watch the Geek and Sundry channel and Nerdist, and let's see, I watch Game Theory, and really influenced also by Vlogbrothers and Super Carlin Brothers, and I recently over sar really Sarcastic Productions, like their summaries of like different kinds of myths are. And even classic literature are really on point and like hilarious. I'm also really enjoying their series on tropes. Let me see. I also really like extra credits and like real like a lot of the other sub channels related to Vlogbrothers, like SciShow and Crash Course, and even like some of the PBS Digital Studios projects. I'm really interested in all those like basically like, education things. And yeah, so it's just a lot of different kinds of influences. But the one thing I noticed though, for a lot of the nerdy channels I watch, and like even not necessarily channels, but like nerdy outlets, even like Wisecrack and like other ones, a lot of the people who are running the channels, they don't really know that much about Japanese culture. Even though they're covering things about Japanese culture, and it's like sometimes it's like they miss things, or like they don't understand, or it's like they miss different things, and or it's like their research isn't that thorough because they don't really, they're kind of starting from scratch when they do the research to look for the answers and things like that. And I kind of wanted to try to fill that gap more, just because like I'm more in it, I feel like
I'm a geek, but also like I'm an actual Japanese major, and it's like there aren't that many actual like geeks who make it through a Japanese major program. It's like a lot of them have the geek like pounded out of them, or like a lot of geeks tend to quit before they finish the major program. It because like I feel like it's like the reality of what Japan is like kind of just doesn't match with like their hopes. That's what I saw like in my program, at least, like with a lot of my peers and classmates. A lot of them didn't, that were more geeky inclined, didn't end up finishing the program. They switched majors or only took a minor or something. And but yeah, I kind of feel like that's a huge thing that like is like a gap for a lot of people. And I think like from the Game Theorist channel, there's like Gaijin Goomba, who has his own channel now, and he kind of does that like with culture shock, to talk about more specifically Japanese influences on in games. And like he does a really great job of it, but at the same time he only covers games, and is like there's a like a wide range of like other things that are culturally influenced and nerdy at the same time. And it's like that no one else covers, or like doesn't cover sufficiently. And like it's like other than Goomba too, like most of the other people who try to talk about Japan and Japanese things have really, really horrible, horrible pronunciation, and I don't know why. It's like really the vowels in Japanese are actually only pronounced one way. There's only one way to pronounce them. And like we have the same sounds in English, and yet they screw them up every time. And it's like, I don't understand why this is hard. Like it takes like just a little bit of research into like Japanese phonetics, and it's like really easy. It's like so easy, but like it's like they do so much research in the other things, and they don't try with the pronunciation part, even though it's super easy. And it's like that's one of those things where you learn once and you never have to learn again. It's like you'll just know. And yeah, so it's like that's kind of like the hole though that I kind of wanted to fill with this, just to try to like talk about different opportunities and geeky things. And I haven't been able to really do as much on that side, and mostly just kind of more about life in Japan. But that's kind of like more the route I want to go toward eventually when this whole process becomes smoother. Other than that, I don't really have a sign off, and like I suppose like want to like think of one eventually, but I've just been using the "Don't forget to be awesome" from Vlogbrothers, and I think that works well. So, don't forget to be awesome, and thank you for listening. Bye.